Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And hello there, happy weekend. Frank Rush along with Tarrant Mayor Duke Bennett is our guest this weekend. How you doing, Mayor?
I'm doing great.
So let's talk, first of all, what's open in Terre Haute? Because everything's closed, it seems.
Well, you know, each day there's a few more things that kind of open, especially on the retail side. And, of course, with restaurants, not everybody opened up this past Monday, but more each day. I know that several are opening this evening. So it's kind of just taking some baby steps, I guess is the best way to put it. So it's kind of hard to keep track of who's open and who's closed now because it's a moving target. But each day a few more things open up.
And that is actually, it's put a little bit of a hurt on the city as a whole because, well, obviously with businesses closed, well, that cuts down on tax revenue and a lot of other things too.
It has a big impact. So not only with the revenues that what state collects, some of that, some of it comes back to us locally, but you know, the people aren't working, maybe if they haven't opened up fully like they normally would. They've still got people that are on unemployment or are not getting anything at all, and so there's no revenue for them to be able to pay their bills and spend money in the community. So it really has that trickle down effect that when these businesses can't get back open again real fast, it affects a lot of things. But I at least I'm seeing kind of the light at the end of the tunnel here. You're beginning to feel like, okay, we're moving in the right direction now. So I guess it's just going to take us a while. We can't get too anxious about it's not going to happen quickly. Let's put it that way.
When we talk about the different things that are affected by this, talk about the city budget, because obviously tax revenues are kind of all over the place, mainly down. Mm-hmm. So how's that really going? I mean, we were doing good for a while now we have this.
We were. And so we still are right this minute. We haven't been hit with anything quite yet, but it's coming. So just from the budget perspective overall, we are right on target for the first quarter through the end of March. And we saw just a tiny dip in our April revenues for MVH and LRS, which is our gas tax. Primarily is gas tax that comes through that fund, and it pays for our street department and all of our paving. So we think that May is going to have a bigger drop, about 50%. It just didn't quite hit because everything runs a month behind, so you're always kind of waiting. So that's been the first thing that we've seen. I've not talked to the county yet about property taxes, so you got to give them a few days to be able to add it all up, because people pay at the bank, they pay online and pay in person, it's all that. So I don't know what percentage of people pay their property taxes. That'll probably be the next thing that we see that's a significant hit. And then, of course, on the food and beverage tax that we've talked about before, all that money goes into the CIB, but that's to go in, be making our bond payment, helping us with overages on things and operations. And so when the revenues drop on that, because that's going to be a huge drop with people not going out to eat, then we're going to see that impact in the next couple of months. We're going to see the major impact of that. So there's a variety of sources. And then the last one is local option income tax. That runs a year behind. So the state collects it, and then they give us our money. And so next year is when we're going to feel the brunt of that. We'll have to make some budget cuts next year in those areas.
Are there going to be any projects that are going to need to be, or are we going to have to hit the brakes on anything this year that's going on?
The only thing that we're going to probably be affected will be just some standard paving projects, not major road reconstructions, but just paving. Because if this gasoline tax doesn't recover by August or something, then we're going to have to cut a few hundred thousand out probably of paving, which, that'll be something that people will notice. I just can't answer that quite yet because I really need to see what May and June's impact is.
And I know it's a hard question to answer because you really don't know, but I got to ask it anyway. So if we do have to cut next year, what's on the chopping block?
Well, the funds that the local option income tax money goes to edit projects or edit related things out of our economic development budget. So we do have some project related dollars in there. We've got you know, things that are related to economic development activities. It's where we pay for our lobbyists and those, and some grant match money comes out of there. So depending on what the estimates are of what we're going to lose, there'll probably be some things that we'll have to shove off until 2022, or, you know, do something of a lesser project or divide it into phases. You know, that's the kind of thing. So I don't really know yet. It is a little too early to tell, but I know we're going to have an impact there, so we're going to have to do something different.
And, of course, cash flow, you've already kind of taken care of that with the city council by going ahead for a little loan to kind of tide us over, right?
Yep, we got a $5 million loan that'll be due in August at a 1.69% interest rate. So it's probably going to cost us about $25,000 total interest for those few months, and will give us the cash we need until all the taxes hopefully are paid in July, you know, when the kind of the next deadline, and then get delivered to us by the end of July or the 1st of August. So should work out just fine at a very minimal cost to the city and taxpayers.
Are you sure we're going to get enough to cover that loan when it's due?
Well, we'll have enough, yeah, overall. But, you know, if for some reason people don't pay their taxes at all for the spring, then we'll have to look at, you know, maybe doing a different kind of a loan at that time, another one, but, you know, a different amount, or not sure what. I'm hoping we don't. I hope we at least collect 75-80% of our taxes, and then we'll be fine. If we only collect 50% of our taxes and they're not going to pay it till December, then that's going to be a little bit of a different issue.
And in all fairness, it's not just Terre Haute that's having to deal with this. Just about
everybody. Yeah. So you're talking about the library, the school corporation, the airport, all the volunteer fire departments, you know, the county government. We've got like 26, 27 taxing entities in Vigo County that, you know, they survive off that property tax dollar. So if people don't pay it, they're all going to be in the same boat. You know, nobody has giant reserves where you can just say, oh, we'll be fine for a year. You know, it just won't work that way.
Is the state offering any kind of cushion to help not just Terre Haute, but other cities through this?
Well, really, this loan was, we did it through the state, and so we got, you know, that everybody gets the same interest rate that closed in May, and so they have, out of their surplus, they're able to loan money, and I heard there was a couple hundred in the first round, and so I'm sure there'll be more in the June and July rounds.
Even though the state's got a little over $2 billion in the bank, that doesn't mean that they can cover everybody everywhere all the time.
They won't be able to. So it's kind of first come, first serve. I'm sure they've probably identified a certain amount. But, you know, small communities that don't get any property tax money and, you know, they still got to provide services are really worse off than the bigger ones, because typically you can shift a few things around. In our case, we can too, and we already have, but I just wanted to make sure that I didn't want to be any pressure on us. We've done so well financially for the last 5 years, and it's like I don't want that pressure of not being able to do something that we really need to get done, that we've planned to do and we need to finish.
Speaking of doing something, the convention center is very slowly moving forward.
Yeah, the slow part is just, you know, utility work right now. I mean, we have to hook up the sewer line on 7th Street, so it's closed, and the drainage work that's going on that parking lot north of the Hilton Garden. So it doesn't look like a lot, but once we get the utilities relocated and that drainage project and the sewer tap put in out there, you'll be able to see more activity. But right, it's always slow when you're doing utility work.
Well, there was no guarantee you were going to get the school corporation administration building either.
We didn't know that either. So as soon as they voted that night, we were ready to kick it off the next day. But it's just kind of a process when you're relocating utilities, working with the utility and then having your contractor be a part of that. So that's why, even though we kind of said, okay, now we're going, people look at it and they say, well, I don't see that much going on. So it is happening, and once that happens, you'll see a lot more activity. We just had to wait till the school corporation approved it. You're absolutely right.
So you go to all the CIB meetings. I mean, you're there. You're part of it.
Yep.
And
yep.
So really, what can Terre Haute expect to see downtown? Because, you know, there's a lot of folks, and quite honestly, myself included, don't think that looking at a parking lot is going to be the prettiest thing to see at the Crossroads of America.
Well, you know, nothing will change there for 2 years. So school corporation is staying in the building. We have access to the parking lots. That takes care of what we need in order to move that project forward. So now we'll have an opportunity over the next 2 years, maybe even a little longer, because we don't have to tear the building down even at the end of 2 years when they move out. We can wait 3 or 4 years. But we can decide what is the next step. Are we going to be able to build a parking garage somewhere, whether it's at the corner of 7th and Cherry or back at 7th and Wabash or whatever? It'll give us time to reevaluate, redesign, go out to bid again, whatever we need to do to figure out, you know, is there a way for us to accomplish our original goal? But the pressure's off now that we've got parking. We've been equal number of spots that have been given back to the Hilton Garden Inn. So what they're going to lose over there, they've recovered. And so that's the main thing to be able to move this forward.
I'm sure you already know about it. We had a meeting a couple days ago, that ad hoc committee that's supposed to advise the city council downtown. Are you part of that too? Or
yes, I am.
Okay. So tell us about that. I mean, obviously the pandemic has caused a real crunch on people trying to have any kind of meetings.
It went pretty well, though, having a virtual meeting. We did that last night.
And out of that, what do people expect to get out of it?
So really, Todd Nation, City Councilman Todd Nation, was driving that primarily for 7th Wabash location. Kind of, you know, where are we going with the parking related to, you know, the new convention center and the third hotel, and just really wanting to provide some community input into what happens next if we purchase that property. So yes, now we've purchased it, or we will close on it soon, but we have an agreement that's been approved by the boards. Then What the bigger picture is, and what some of the people on the committee brought up last night, well, we need to kind of step back a little bit and look at, you know, other parking issues and just other things downtown and how things will interact with each other. And so this committee is just advisory that'll be bring ideas to the table, kind of vet those ideas, and then be able to make a report back at the city council at some point, because, you know, this group doesn't have a lot of power. It just has some influence and some ability to share ideas. And so that's all healthy. One of the things that I interjected in last night is it's time to update our downtown Terre Haute plan. It's, you know, over 10 years old now. We try to do it every 10 years, so it's time. So maybe this group can provide some direct feedback into the planning process as we bring somebody on to help us build the next 10 years of our downtown plan. So much has changed since we did the last one. I mean, we weren't even talking about a convention center. And, you know, some of the things that ISU's done and a remodeling of Holman Center, and just, you know, the police station will be coming in that downtown area, and just a variety of things have just really weren't even on the radar screen 10 years ago. So we need to look at what we've done, celebrate those accomplishments via the plan, and then say, okay, now what do we need to look at for the next 10 years? And parking will be a big part of that.
So I realize, of course, the committee really does have no legislative authority. They're just advisory to the council. Mm-hmm. But with that said, you being on it, I mean, let's face it, all we're really doing at this point right now is just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. So if you're throwing something, if you yourself are throwing something against the wall, what do you hope will stick as far as ideas go?
I guess if you're talking about the primary purpose that drove this was the parking-related thing, I can see us eventually building another parking garage downtown. It's going to depend on financing, you know, what money we have available, where it's at, whether it's at 7th and Cherry, I don't know, or it could be 7th and Wabash, or maybe in another location that would support that complex. That's probably where we need to be down the road. That may be 4 or 5 years from now. So we need to determine what the future viability of the school corporation building itself is, whether we need to keep it or tear it down, and whether we're going to, we know what we're going to do with that property. So I think those questions are open-ended right now, and there's options available to us. There's no urgency to decide tomorrow what it looks like, because we've taken the pressure off now by we've got surface parking. We can use what's already there. We don't have to do anything else, spend any money to do anything, and move this project forward. When the convention center's done, and then we get somewhere in that time frame, we get that third hotel being built along with the new parking garage over there, then we can say, okay, what is our target here? Can we go back to the drawing board on what a parking garage needs to be? Do we need to move it? I mean, there's just so many things that we can talk about and look at and rule things in and rule things out so everybody's on the same page.
And I realize this is going to be asking just for a little bit of speculation here, but the two parking garages that we already have downtown, mm-hmm. the city built and then turned around and sold them.
Yes.
Are we going to do that again?
Don't know. You know, it's hard to say. The parking garage with ISU, that was always the plan to do that. That was that from the very beginning. They were going to own that someday down the road. And so we just did it a little sooner than later. On the other parking garage, you know, it's always better to have things in private hands and have government run everything forever. And so sometimes you have to help get it started, but then you don't need to stay in the business forever. So I don't know. I think that's it could go either way. If we build it, we would obviously have it for a while. Maybe it's a partnership with the hotel. Maybe it's in partnership with somebody else who wants to build a building downtown. So it could be a public-private partnership. It could be just the city doing it. It could be the CIB doing it. I don't know the answer to that yet. I just want to keep all those options open.
All right. And then the other thing is, too, we talk about the convention center, which has been mostly what we've been talking about here, relocating utilities. How long before people actually start seeing something that they can say, oh, that is going to be the convention center?
I would say a few months, because it'll take a while to get all those utilities moved, and but you'll be able to see some noticeable things within probably the next 60 to 90 days.
And as the
police
police station goes, obviously you're going to take over the old newspaper building downtown. And how is that project going? Are we working inside yet?
No, but we're as of yesterday, we finalized all the work that needs to be done. We had to make a few modifications to some things and have finalized the pricing on all that. So now we are formally going after the financing. So we'll be rolling a schedule out here probably next week that kind of lays out the steps of the approvals for this. And as part of that, we're doing everything we can to get an agreement in front of Garmong so they can get started on the work while the financing, so things can be going on in parallel there at the same time.
Luckily for the city, financing now, my goodness, interest rates are so cheap.
Yeah, we're looking at refinancing some bonds we have, and now to take out a new bond, it couldn't be any better time. I mean, interest rates probably won't be this low again for a very, very long time once they start going up. So we want to lock in low interest rates right now. It's perfect timing.
I'm guessing
the delay actually helped us in a way. So, you know, you never know. You win some, you lose some. But I'd much rather have lower interest, which means lower cost to the taxpayers.
Yeah, I'm guessing you or I neither one will be around when interest rates ever come down to this.
Yeah, this is kind of amazing. So it is a very interesting market out there right now, and we've got to take advantage of it.
Does this save the city enough money to perhaps open up some other avenue for something else that you want to do but maybe didn't think you'd have the money for?
Probably. Exactly what that is today, I don't know, because then the other benefit we have coming is not only that kind of savings and being able to do some things with freed up funds, if you will, over the coming years, but, you know, with the casino, we're going to generate some brand new money to come into the community. So really, we've kind of gone from, you know, it's got a 180-degree swing probably from 5 years ago to 2 years into the future here now. So over a 7-year span, it's going to be pretty amazing. So that's what we need to really, as our community plan begins to roll out and we identify some projects that the entire community supports, I'm going to have some resources from the city side to be able to step up and deliver. That's really it's going to be a blast. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some funds that we don't need it for our budget, but we can invest back in the community.
And you'll probably not even want to answer this, but with the convention center pretty much a go, I mean, that's going to happen. The casino, that's going to happen. Anything else on the back burner that maybe is getting ready to move to the front burner?
You know, we got our hands full with all that. The overpass at 13th and 8th Avenue, you know, continues to move forward. That's going to be a big one. You know, we're going to have to build a couple of new fire stations at some point, so that's kind of in our planning sites now. We're going to have to get something out in the 46th area. So we're relocating and reallocating some resources over the coming years. That'll be something that we'll be talking about. Obviously, we've still got to do the main lift station project as related to the long-term control plan. It's on hold right now because of that environmental issue down there, but it'll be coming back again. So, you know, we're still talking about some major projects, but outside of those right now, no. I really want to focus on what are these quality of life kind of initiatives that we want to do in the community with this, some of this new revenue that will be coming in. That's where my focus is going to be. And so today, I can't tell you exactly what those are. We know what the community provided through the feedback process for the plan, but you know, we need to kind of formalize that. So that's the things you're going to be hearing more of in the coming year about what are we targeting to invest back in the community with that's not already on our books.
And one thing, you just made a light bulb go off in my head that I forgot to mention, the old Coke plant down on 13th Street. There's what? There's some activity there to try to get that cleaned up even more, right?
Absolutely. So we got a $300,000 grant to not only do additional work there, you know, and you know the way government works. I know you know it well, Frank, but, you know, we have to do these phase one environmental studies, and then you have an empty piece. And phase one means you look at all the history of who's ever done anything there and what they might have contaminated the site with. Well, that site's had, you know, multiple phase ones done. Well, they expire, though. They become stagnant. And so the federal government wants you to do an updated one. So in that particular location, even though that nobody's been there, we have to do another phase one. That's fine. But it's going to help us take the next step to clean up that last section there. So we'll be able to finalize the cleanup plan, and then we'll be able to go for another grant then to do the actual cleanup. So, and then we also have some of that money to use on a couple of other sites in the city. So, you know, every time we can get some dollars to help us take another step, it just means we're getting closer to getting it cleaned up.
Tara, Mayor Duke Bennett, thanks a lot for being with us today. Appreciate your time. And if you missed part of the program and you want to go back and hear it again, you can always find the entire show posted on our website right now as a podcast. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.